Blog Talk Radio.
That's Shout Even Shy singing The Words You Cannot Say, a poem I wrote. She put the music. Thank you, Bridget. Welcome back, my friends, to the show where I pretend. You stumbled across ATOV Radio, a team of voices. We are Wonderland Productions, sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. We are part of the allpoetry.com, the biggest writing site on the planet. It's free to join. Just go to the groups section, look up ATOV, a team of voices, knock on the door. Deborah Lee will answer and let you in. It's free to join. Speaking of my little sister, Deborah, she sits in the back, does all the heavy lifting, so I can sit out here and look pretty. Hi, Deborah.
Hello, my pretty big brother.
Yeah, tonight, long-awaited. It's Wednesday, April 26th in the year of our Lord 2023, a long-awaited show. We're going to be celebrating the life and career of one of the most influential musicians in rock history, Sir Paul McCartney of the Beatles, one half of the writing team, Lennon and McCartney, and responsible for what was known as the English invasion of the United States in the 1960s. They hit the U.S. like no other band before or since. Beatlemania was what they called it. It was a force, so much so that it even even scared the United States government. John Lennon, the other half of the writing team, was very vocal of anti-war. Vietnam War was raging. He was eventually banned from coming back into the country on some trumped-up charge. They didn't want him inciting. They figured he was powerful enough that if he said, rise up against your government, they thought the youth might just do that. We were having riots and protests on universities across the nation during the Vietnam War. So it was a very, was it tumultuous time? Is that the right word? And enough about John. Paul, the cute beetle is what they call him. He started in 19, he met John Lennon in 1957, a month before I was born. They got together. They formed the Quarrymen. They played in Germany, I think more than any other place at that time. They eventually became the Beatles when Ringo Starr came aboard. And they at that time they started not doing no cover songs. They were writing their own music. And when they hit the United States, it was incredible to watch. I was too young to attend anything, but man, the teenage girls were just going nuts over these guys. We'll be going over his Paul McCartney, what he did then, what he's done since, and what he's doing now. It's all good. Paul McCartney's a humanitarian, a philanthropist, a poet. I think he's just a nice human being, very caring, very generous. I think I looked up, he has 45 different charities that he donates to, and I'm talking millions. So good for you, Paul. Deborah, so is that cutting it close or what?
I'd say a wee bit. Where'd you go? Heather, did you just mute yourself? Okay, well, I don't know about the rest of the universe, but I cannot hear Heather anymore. My, oh, my. Heather. You're muted, or your phone died. Well, let's see. While we wait to see if he chimes back in, I think maybe I will kick off a song and give him a chance to dial back in. And, well, duh, he's talking about McCartney, isn't he? Here we go.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let die.
Live and let die. Hey, Deborah, have you ever done the perfect intro and nobody heard you?
I may have had her. I'm not sure. I do know that you got a little bit of it in. You started talking about Paul and John as one of the best writing teams ever, and then poof.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't even know it hung. It got hung up on. It happens. But it was a perfect day. Rambling away, I was wondering why my phone was ringing when you called me. I'll just start with the Lennon and McCartney bit. Okay, Lennon and McCartney, probably one of the most famous and best writing teams in rock and roll history. Where was I? Okay. They were responsible for what became the English invasion of the United States. They were first the quarrymen when they played in Germany and I believe in France. Before they came to the United States, it was like pandemonium. The girls were waiting for them. It was real. Beatlemania set the youth social structure. Like no other. In fact, it scared the establishment, the power and the influence that the Beatles had, enough to ban John Lennon from coming back into the country for a couple of years. But that was eventually settled. Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney, he's been knighted. Paul was a philanthropist, a humanitarian, a poet, a musician. Basically a very caring guy. I looked up, he has 45 charities that he donates to every year, I guess, and I'm talking millions. He's worth about $1.2 billion, good for you, Paul. Some people call him cheap, but that's only because he got screwed out of some, he trusted people and they screwed him, so he's very frugal with his money. I don't blame him, but Paul was known as the cute Beatle, I guess. Of course he was. I was in the intro that I the intro that I had already said, nobody heard me. Take a breath. I grew up in the Bay Area, San Francisco, and the movements at Cal Berkeley and Haight-Ashbury during the 60s was quite entertaining to watch. I was only 10, I think. And the rule was, no, you're not wearing your hair that way, and no, we're not buying you Beetle boots. That was my mom. But the influence in music alone of the Beatles was quite astounding. For example, Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, he took it personally when the British invasion, the English invasion of the United States, the Stones, Cream, and the Beatles and others arrived. It changed the sound of rock music, and Brian Wilson had to compete. Brian Wilson was a genius, and he even had a breakdown during, I don't know what year it was, but because he worked so hard to compete with the Beatles. I can't think of any other writing team bigger. Maybe Simon and Garfunkel to mind as far as rock of that era. Yeah, Bob Dylan was huge. But you can't say anybody was any bigger than McCartney and Lennon and Harrison and Ringo. So we'll be going over. Thank you, Deb, for playing the song when I have my absence.
No problem.
That was weird. Tonight we're going to be celebrating Paul. Been waiting to have this opportunity. Paul started with the Quarrymen. That was Lennon and McCartney, George Harrison, and Pete Best, I believe, was the drummer then, the Quarrymen. A little power struggle between Pete Best and John Lennon, who's going to run this, who's going to head the group. And Lennon pretty much told Best to go screw himself. I think the quote was, "I can take the next drummer that walks through that door and make him a star." So, they broke up. Well, bad move by Pete Best. So Richard Starkey walked through the door, Ringo Starr, and the rest is history. They had ups and downs. I remember at Shea Stadium, I believe it was, they had John Lennon was misquoted in an interview of the, all four of them were there, and John was just astounded by the craziness, the chaos of everywhere they went, with the girls screaming and fainting and the chasing and the noise being so loud they couldn't even hear themselves played at the outdoor at the concerts. He quoted, and I don't. He what he said was, "You'd think we were as popular as Jesus Christ." He never said he was more popular. He was misquoted, and the forces that didn't like rock and roll took advantage of that, said something that he didn't say, and people were starting to burn their records, and the memorabilia in Shea Stadium. And I bet they all wish they had that stuff back, because it'd be worth quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee that John Lennon never said he was more popular than Jesus Christ. He was just making an observation. You would think we were as popular as Jesus Christ. And that's honest to God truth. Since then, John has been microanalyzed everything he says and everything he wrote. And they would try to say, "Well, that's about LSD. That's about drugs. You know, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. What else could it be? You know, drugs." Knowing that, and Bob Dylan did the same thing. They started writing nonsensical lyrics, like Green Onion or Glass Onion or whichever Green Onion. And there are songs that are just nonsensical. The lyrics, and he, you know, that was his way of fighting back. Go ahead, analyze this. The White Album comes to the Rubber Soul right out, and the White Album comes to mind. I think that was the genesis of Paul Was Dead. They did a scam saying that Paul had died and replaced with a lookalike. If you look at the Abbey Road album, there's all sorts of hints. Abbey Road and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the Sgt. Pepper album. There's all sorts of little clues in the pictures of the album of different meaning. Abbey Road, they're walking across the crosswalk. They have, I think, Ringo's first, but he's, don't know, George's, I can't remember what lineup, but one of them is the grave digger, one's the preacher, one's the funeral director, whatever. Then Paul is in the middle with bare feet, and he's out of step. Everybody else is in step, and he's out of step. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band, he's wearing a black rose, and everybody else has got they're all wearing black roses. There's a lot of little details. There's a license plate on Abbey Road that says 28 if, because he was 27 when they did this, and he'd be 28 if he lived. And, you know, it was stuff like that. And it also started the rumors that if you play the Beatles backwards, you could hear the devil. Well, you know what? You could play Frank Sinatra backwards, and somewhere on some song, it's going to sound like the devil. That was, you know, McCartney and Lennon both agreed that who had time to record shit backwards? It's like that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But this was the power these guys had. Probably didn't know the extent of that, but popularity of the rock, and I think the youth of the United States or the world was hungry for music, different kind of music. Like I said before, Elvis, Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry, these guys had already paved the way for the that rock sound. They just figured out the math. Everything's math, the numbers. Paul McCartney, I mean, my Lord, I could not find the interviews where, after the breakup of the Beatles in 1970, they had to divide because everything was written. They had agreed everything was going to be written, Lennon, McCartney, every song responsible. So no one person took ownership of any song. But when they broke up, they had to do this. They had to divide what songs were Lennon's and what songs were McCartney's. And they said most of the early stuff was basically the melodies were all McCartney and the lyrics and such were more Lennon. So when they divided it up, it was like playing cards. There, Annie and this, and you know, I wanted that song, but you know, Paul took it. I saw that interview once, and I can't find it again. So I don't know if it's still available. But what a predicament to be in, huh?
Right.
Some of the biggest shows on TV was when the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show. I think when they banned John Lennon from coming back into the country, I don't want to say that wrong, but it interfered with a custody. They needed to come back in and get custody of, I believe it was Sean Lennon. And when Paul, you know, if Paul, John was banned from the United States, they couldn't play here, so the band couldn't play. So they went back to England. In fact, they were bigger in the United States than they were in England. The Hollies were the number one band at that time in the 60s. So the Beatles didn't come to their own country, didn't come to number one quite as quickly as you'd think. But they were here. They were an instant hit and have been ever since. Did you have any albums, records, Beatle records, Deb, or that before?
No, I actually didn't. I actually did not have any.
We had a friend of my dad's was an FBI agent. They'd go out to dinner sometimes and lived in Oakland. So we were babysat by this Art Lyman's daughter. She was a teenager. We were little, and we played Beatle 45s all night long. I remember that. I remember all of it because of it was the first time that I got to hear the Beatles over and over and over different songs because on the radio it shared time. They still had payola. The DJs were being paid off to not play certain groups and play in other ones. And playing certain, which was illegal for one thing. A guy named I should have wrote it down. I'll think of it in a minute. But yeah, the payola was the thing that the guys like Little Richard, the Beatles, Cream, these guys needed to break through because the establishment, the government, the man was paying to not play them. Different markets, if you know how the TV and radio markets go, it's a very complicated, very money invested sponsorship type of corporate entity. This is what they had to fight. Once you get so big, I guess, as like a rock group, your troubles change. You're no longer worried about getting gigs. You're worried about living through to the next one. Beatles couldn't go anywhere. They had a manager, Brian Epstein, who was an honest man and made sure that he took care of each of the Beatles so they could just play the music. During that time, they did the Hard Day's Night, the movie, and Help. They're entertaining. If you don't like nonsensical humor kind of shit, you wouldn't like it. But being that it's from my era anyway, it's very entertaining. Paul McCartney, like I said, it started with the Quarrymen, then to the Beatles, and when the Beatles broke up in 70, he went on solo, and then he created Wings, who incredibly had a lot more number one hits than I remember. In fact, let me pull that up. Yeah, I was a McCartney fan when I was little, but as I became older, I became a fan of George Harrison more as far as writing songs. George Harrison was definitely my favorite. He died in 2001, I believe. God rest his soul. He's got a kid, Donnie Harrison, looks just like Harrison when he was young. If you've ever seen the concert for George that Eric Clapton put on for him, Donnie's on stage a lot of the time with Eric and Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne. And he looks just like a younger version of, he looks like George Harrison when he was 17. Harrison had to be, he had to come in, be snuck in the back door because he was only 17 years old. Illegal to go into a bar. So they wait till the last minute, he'd go up on stage, play, and then leave. But these guys, it's hard to remain friends. The bands like the Heartbreakers, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, they stayed together for over 40 years playing. That's remarkable without losing or picking up members like a lot of the groups. The Stones did the same thing. They were very, and Led Zeppelin until John Bonham died in the 70s. I think it's a tribute to their character to be able to appreciate another band member. Usually it's a clash of styles or arrogance or personalities with musicians. I've seen it. But these guys knew where their place. Paul, when they got together and they got George, now Harrison was the better guitarist, even though he was youngest, but he was the better guitarist from day one. So somebody had to play bass. It wasn't going to be Lennon because Lennon was the head of the group. So McCartney had to play bass. He plays bass like an angry lead guitarist. It became very proficient and very influenced how you play the bass. I played bass for a while. McCartney, I don't know how these guys sing and play bass at the same time. I couldn't do it. So cheers to all bass players. Why don't we, Deb, if we could play an early song. Can we play, did you get anything loaded? Did you see my list?
I got your whole list, of course.
God, you're so good. You're so good. Let's play Hard Day's Night. If I could.
Well, the thing about that is that would have been one of the ones that you sent me for that to happen.
So we don't.
What you sent was Band on the Run, Get Back, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Jet.
Yeah, hold. I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Okay.
Thank you.
Here we go. I wanna hold your hand.
Paul McCartney, I want to hold your hand. How tempting would it be to be 20 years old and be an international rock star that just has to hide everywhere you go because of the girls, and not reach out and try to grab one? I mean, as a partner, not just grab one. The temptation is You would only know it if it comes to you. Instant stardom can be a curse. Most people flame out. They destroy themselves, not being able to handle that. I think the Beatles did quite well. I think it was all due to their manager, Brian Epstein. They really cared about, the band cared about Brian and knew of his troubles. And Brian was an honest man in a sea of thieves, and they knew it. So the trust was there. They were not a band that didn't ever got paid, which was a theme in the 70s for a lot of those rock bands. They didn't get paid for their Tommy James is one that comes to mind. Just ripped off. Brian Epstein was a smart businessman and made sure that the Beatles were reimbursed for their talents. I think it was best that I was young. I was younger, too young then. But, Sir Paul McCartney. Let's see. In full, his name is Sir James Paul McCartney. He was born June 18, 1942, in Liverpool, England. He's a British vocalist, songwriter, composer, bass player, poet, and painter, whose work with the Beatles in the 1960s helped lift popular music from its origins in the entertainment business and transformed it into a creative, highly commercial art form. No kidding. He's also one of the most popular solo performers of all time in terms of both sales and his recordings and attendance at his concerts. His early life. McCartney's father, James, worked as a Liverpool cotton exchange, and his mother, Mary, was a midwife out at all hours on her bicycle to deliver babies. Her death from breast cancer in October 1956, when McCartney was 14, had a profound effect on his life and was the inspiration for his ballad, Let It Be. When Mother Mary comes to me, right? That's talking about his mom. His younger brother, Michael, later changed his name to Mike McGear and had a number of hits in a satirical rock group, Scaffold. I've never heard of him. I'm going to look it up. Like fellow Beatles George Harrison, Ringo Starr, Richard Starkey, McCartney grew up in a traditional north of England working class society with an extended family frequently visiting the house at 20 Forthland Road in the Allerton area of Liverpool. The house is now owned by the National Trust Corporation. His father had been the leader of the Jim Max Jazz Band, so there was music in the family already. In the evening, the family often gathered around the piano. An experience McCartney drew upon for such sing-along songs as When I'm 64. Yeah. On July 6, 1957, just before I was born, he met John Lennon at Woolton Village Fete and joined his skiffle band, skiffle group. What's a skiffle group? Skiffle group. Let me see. A skiffle group is music.
Folk music. With influences from American folk music, blues, country, bluegrass, and jazz generally performed in a mixture.
There you go. I know John was all about the blues. I mean, he loved the blues. He loved the old Muddy Waters and the old southern rock, as did Eric Clapton, had a passion for the southern blues, American bluegrass, or the R&B.
Another fascinating point about the skiffle band is that they mostly used homemade or inexpensive instruments like washboards, harmonicas, jugs, washtubs, kazoos, and tin flutes, woodblocks, and slide whistles. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's what they call the Quarrymen. That was their first band. They played in the caverns. I think it was the caverns in Germany. They were like the house band there for quite a while. I remember, I think it was Pete Townsend. And, who did he call? He called somebody and said, "We have to change the way we play." Pete Townsend with the Who. Anyway. The Quarrymen was the first group. They said there was other names, but I couldn't find them. Skiffle group, the Quarrymen, after several name changes, became the Beatles. I remember somebody asking, why the Beatles? Asking John, why the Beatles? Why was it the name? And he goes, well, why not? You could have been the Shoes. It's just a name. When Lennon's mother was killed by a speeding police car in 1958, McCartney, with his own mother's death still fresh in his memory, was able to empathize with a distraught 17-year-old. That was Lennon, creating a bond that became the basis of their close friendship. McCartney and Lennon quickly established themselves as songwriters for the group, and by the time the Beatles signed with EMI Parlophone in 1962, they were writing most of their own material. By their third album, the group stopped recording covers, and Lennon and McCartney's songwriting partnership was very important to them, both financially and creatively. Even in 1969, when they were estranged over business matters and supposedly not on speaking terms, Lennon brought McCartney his song, The Ballad of John and Yoko, and they worked together on the middle eight. The title Middle Eight, and, the standalone section that often comes midway in the song. Okay, that's like the transfer, what do they call it? It's not the intro, outro, it's the blends when you go in and out of a chorus or a lyric. Oh, come on.
Bridge?
I learned that on Guitar Hero. Guitar Hero? I tell them all this shit. Yeah. And they worked through the middle eight. The standalone section that often comes midway in a song, okay. Their music transcended personal differences. Though usually associated with ballads and love songs, McCartney also was responsible for many of the Beatles' hardened rock songs, such as Lady Madonna, Back in the USSR, and Helter Skelter. I thought John did Helter Skelter, but I guess not. You know what a Helter Skelter is?
What's that?
In the English, now imagine when you see an English fair, a fair, as they call them, there was always a tower that kids would climb up the ladder and then slide down, and then inside it was the sides were twisted. You couldn't see; they weren't open like we know them. They were covered. That's a Helter Skelter. The lyrics go, when I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide, turn around and stop. When I go for a ride, when I get to the bottom, I will see you again. Okay. Helter Skelter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And that's,
but yeah, no.
Sadly, that's what.
I know that it also means disorder and confusion. So it, you know, but yeah. So it kind of had double meaning between, like you said, you go back to the top. But It also is disorder, confusion, like a tailspin. So
I think it's because you couldn't see what slide you're going down, and you can't see where it's going because it's covered. It's just like a big round teepee type of thing. We don't even know what slides is. It's out in the open. We see everything, but it's just like there was a. I don't know if it was in San Francisco where we went down a slide. It's like before water slides, but it was like one of those. You went in and out of the dark. You go into the dark. You couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it was like that. But yeah, that's what Charlie Manson used to try to create a race war. When
it
he
looks
did
like
his
a giant
things.
Lighthouse wrapped in a.
Are you pull it up?
In a.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the health shelter looks like a giant lighthouse with metal wrapped around it.
And the minute you see it, you recognize, oh, I've seen that before, but yeah, didn't know what it was. Let's see. But above all, he has an extraordinary gift for melodies and sometimes tags an entirely new one on the end of a song, as he did with Hey Jude. No, 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 no. You know, that said it until the end of the song. This facility extends to his bass playing, which is famously melodic, though often overlooked. A multi-instrumentalist, McCartney also plays drums on some of the Beatles tracks and played all the instruments on some of his solo albums, as well as lead guitar at concerts. Why don't we play another song? Did we get Penny Lane?
You gave me Band on the Run, and Yesterday that still won't play yet.
Let's play Get Back.
We must not. I searched it, and it's not here. I only did the ones that you requested.
Oh. Get Back's not there?
I got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You gave me 7 of them.
Yeah.
But the 2 you've mentioned are not one. You do have 5 more to play. Although I really thought that Strawberry Fields and Yesterday
didn't get up there either. Yeah, but shoot, we don't have Get Back. I had a whole thing with the fifth Beatle. There's always been argument of who's considered the fifth Beatle, and I have my own philosophy, and a lot of people agree with me, but there are some say Pete Best was the fifth Beatle. Wrong. He didn't play with the Beatles, he played with the Quarrymen. Billy Preston, the Beatles played down south in Alabama or Georgia somewhere, and Billy Preston showed up. He was going to play keyboards for him on Get Back, and that's who plays keyboards on that track. And it's great. That's Billy Preston. Billy Preston's a black man, a beautiful black man. And they said, you're not going on stage with him, pointing at Billy Preston. He goes, why not? He says, because we don't allow them on stage. He goes, well, if he don't go, we don't go. He's a Beatle. John Lennon called him a Beatle. He says, if he don't play, we don't play. They ended up playing, and Billy Preston did his thing, just rocked everybody. That's on the Get Back channel. He does My Sweet Lord at the concert for George in tribute to George's passing. Beautifully done. He does this little hop skip, you know, on his keyboard when he goes high. It's freaking great. Well, I'll let you pick one. Let's pick a song. The earliest one, the thing, what do you think is the earliest one?
Oh,
I'm not in the studio yet.
I don't know.
Lady Madonna?
I didn't research Dear Heart. That was your gig.
Name it all the ones I didn't give you?
I know, right?
I tried to get one in each era. You know, from the mid-60s, then the late 60s up to 70, and then his solo and with Wings. I tried to mix them up, but.
Well, no, you did. But like I said, I thought Yesterday in Strawberry Fields was John. You have Jet, which is, I think, the Wings.
John. I think John sings it, but apparently, see, when they divided the songs up, they both had, they said that, that McCartney and Moore did the melodies and stuff, their, what they had written down, the music that they had already tried to figure. They plugged it into each other, changed the keys and such, the tempos, and blended them. That's what created Lennon and McCartney as a one unit. So when you hear John sing a song, it doesn't mean that that's the one he got, because when they divvied him up, it was like a card game. You take this one, I want that one, you know, that kind of a trade. Because I remember John in the interview saying, I wish I had taken that song. And I think he was talking about I Saw Her Standing There. She was just 17, you know. Anyway, yeah, that must have been a hell of a, I'd have loved to have been on the fly on the wall. You know, in two instances. One would be when John and Paul had to divvy up the songs. I think there were like over 200 at the time, probably more. But they had to, for legal reasons, they had to do that. Who's ownership of what song for rights? That would have been an interesting place, because they have big respect for both musicians they had for each other, actually loved each other as brothers, and to not have money or any kind of financial thing get in between you when you're trying to talk about money and financial gain. That would be a tough seat to be in, you know. And they had to do it when, like I said, when they were estranged and they weren't getting along. That was, now that's a whole another story of how that breakup happened. And there's a lot of misconceptions and who did it, you know, Yoko was responsible and all this crap, you know, right out of McCartney's mouth. I'll tell you what he said later, a little later when we talk about Yoko. But, let's throw a dart. Do a wing.
Say that again. Jet.
A wing.
Here's Jet.
Our little... Jet. Jet. When that came out, I was rocking. I was in my 67 Firebird, my Scat Tracks, my Tiger Paws, my Craig quadraphonic stereo inside, getting looks by every cop. You know, Wings, though, the group, there were certain tapes I would play, or there's that you play when you're cruising. Wings was like the Stones. You played them when you part out of the park throwing frisbee. You put your speakers outside your car and put them on the roof and plug those mid-range in. And there's a different kind of music. You played the Stones and Wings. That makes sense? I can't say that I ever bought a Wings tape. You know, being that they're always played on the radio.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. How do you got about 10 minutes left?
10 minutes. Well, I'll thank everybody that's going to listen. Everybody that's listening now, thank you so much. So much to talk about when you talk about the Beatles, every one of them, except maybe Ringo. But we will have a show on Ringo because he had the golden ticket in life. He got the free ride, that son of a gun. Good for him. And he became a very good musician. Ed Wiggles, I'll explain that. Oh, not that he wasn't. He knew how to play the drums. Paul McCartney. He's done well. We'll do another one and hit his philanthropy, his humanitarian efforts and such. Quite remarkable. I got stuck on that last night, started reading it when I was supposed to be looking up the songs and the music history. But he spent his time well as a rich man, and that's a good thing. So let's play a song. Let's play. I saw Get Back in the studio. Play that. That.
You got it.
Thank you. This is Billy Preston on the keyboard. You'll see how he comes in. He just hops in with that keyboard. Hey, Rebecca.
Come on, you idiot.
Hey, think about it. Didn't my Tech Dexter has scored another?
We've had a request from Martin and Luther.
No, we don't need any more.
Right.
Hello? Yep.
Hello?
Lynn, any more?
Got all that one take stuff. Yeah. I had a neighbor named Jim. He was a year younger than me when we were like in junior high school, and he had two older sisters that went to high school. They were Beatle freaks. That's all the girls wanted to play. When they would have the slumber parties with the girls, Jim would invite me over, and we were just these. They were probably about 4 or 5 years older than us. So thank you, Jim, for all those nights in the with the older girls. Thank you. Playing Beatles songs. Thanks, Deborah. We'll do this again.
Thank you, Hatter. Great information, as usual. You know, I don't think that the Beatles really fit in the one-hour format because there's so much for you to share with us.
I tried Harrison once. Same thing.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to make some adjustments where we can do those particular jukeboxes on a night where I don't have to leave to go get my son. But again, fabulous information you share. I love listening to you talk about these things because you get so much joy from it. But on that note,
I actually had a format.
I know. I'm impressed. You were on a roll. Like I said, you pack a lot of information into the hour, and because you enjoy talking about music so much, you don't realize how fast the hour's gone.
I couldn't believe it when you said it.
Yeah,
all right.
I know.
Ice cream man passed me by again. I heard him turn the corner,
you know,
man.
If I was closer, I'd be out there throwing apples.
I was waving my arms and everything. Damn. I'm getting pissed.
I would call and report him. How are you going to make money if your ice cream man blows us off when we stand out there waving our arms like a chicken? I would be on that phone so fast.
In his defense, he does have the angles weren't right, the road, the street, he's got to be moving. He can't be going slow when it flies by here. We've got the highway on the west side of our house.
Well, if he can't stop because, you're a grown man, and how disappointed are you? Because this is the second year in a row now.
Okay, all right. I wasn't waving my arms. I wasn't waving my arms that much. I did step out there and look like, what?
There's little kids all over your area now crying because that jerk didn't stop for them, so he's an idiot. But anyway, again, great show, and let's go out with Band on the Run, and then I'm just going to click out. Love and respect,
okay.
Hatter. Love and respect,
thanks,
everyone. Night, Hatter.
Good night.